Hi, everybody. My name is Mark Loudon. I am a learning technologies analyst at the Ohio University Heritage College of Osteopathic Medicine. I was talked into doing this podcast by now a second-year medical student at OUH-CUM named Suzanne Char. And I have to be honest with everybody, as we start this episode, I joined way late. I'm running like 15 minutes late, and here's why. My wife Jill and I love Ted Lasso. The show Ted Lasso, it's on Apple TV. It is amazing. Tonight was the season ender for season 3. So I'm joining this. I'm still wiping my eyes because I was crying. I completely lost track of time. My focus was completely on the show. Suzanne was texting me, like, are you okay? I'm still logged into the call. What's going on? How could you forget me? What's going on? I'm Mark. Should I check with Jill? Should I text Jess, my boss at work? Like, she's really concerned about my well-being. I'm just crying watching a TV show. I feel terrible. Suzanne, I am so, so sorry. I'm sorry.
You're totally okay. Uh-oh. I mean, this is just really not you type of thing. Like, you're usually on here 10 minutes or 15 minutes before we start recording.
Yeah, I arrive at everything minutes. Early. But this show, I was completely immersed. I didn't look up at anything. The dogs wanted to go outside. I ignored it. I was just like, bless it. So I am so sorry. So anyway, this is also a significant episode that I just practically blew off. It's season 2, episode 18. This is the final episode of our second season. And my friend, this episode is called, Oh, the Places We Have Gone, because we have gone some places from this little podcast. Thank you to everyone that's listened. We're going to keep going. This isn't the final episode. This is just the last episode of season 2. We'll be back with the season 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And who knows, you know, after that, maybe we'll go national and have some kind of syndicated show. Anyway, I'm just making stuff up. Suzanne, you and I talked at the beginning. We've had another episode where we talk, and we're just you and me, pal. We're just talking about life.
Yes.
And what this year has meant academically, personally, and hey, the places that we have gone.
It's been a long year.
It has.
A long year.
So for you, let's talk first about, and I'm going to tell you right now, unplug your mic and plug your mic back in because it's a little chirpy. This is a typical thing we do off mic, but you know, since I'm starting this thing way late, we should do that first. Talk about a little bit what you've been doing in this month since classes ended at HCOM.
So we finished classes May 4th or 5th. That Thursday was our last day of exams. And then I had that weekend off sleeping in, getting all the sleep, catching up on. And then Monday, I started a preceptorship program. It's called the Larry Rogers Preceptorship Program. It's actually a program by the Ohio Academy of Family Medicine physician. And basically, it is available for all medical students across all 7 medical schools in Ohio. So it's not only an HCOM thing, it's all medical schools. And what's unique about it is you get to pick your preceptor. You reach out to the doctors you want, whether it's through your school or outside of your school. And there's two options of like tracks to do. There's one where it's 4 weeks long or a total of 128 hours that you need to do. Or there's the non-traditional track where you do up to 40 hours over 4 weeks track. You get stipend from both tracks. The first, the long one, you get $1,500. The shorter one, the 40 hours, you get $600. But it's honestly more than about the money. I really planned it to do it right after classes because I know I'm planning to go back to Florida. I was like, you know, I'm just going to knock it out, do it 3 weeks straight. And I never thought I will enjoy it as much as I did. I ended up doing it at Oblenis Hospital, the family med clinic with Oblenis, and it's through HCOM too. I think it's called the Physician Heritage Clinics, something along that line. It's the first floor of that building. Everyone knows it. There's about, I think, 10 physicians in that clinic. Most of them are family med. Some are internal med physicians. Some specifically do addiction medicine, some palliative care. And the way the manager basically did my schedule is in the morning I'm with someone, and in the afternoon I'm with a different provider or different physician. So in my first week, I worked with 7 different physicians.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, that's great.
My first day was mainly shadowing. Wherever a student do it will have different experience. It really depends on how comfortable the student is and how comfortable the physician is with the student of like going in by themselves or just shadowing and so on. So the first day it was mainly shadowing. It was cool to watch it, but it was so boring for me. It's like, I need to be hands-on. I want to talk to the patients. Like just standing in the corner does not help me.
Got it. Yeah.
So second day, I was with different physicians who were more younger and recent graduates from the residency program. Actually, one just graduated last year and one 2 years ago. And both did their family med at Oblenis, their residency. I was like, hey, I would love to practice some history taking skills if you're okay with it. Whenever you let me know, or like, okay, go see this patient. I was like, okay, I wasn't expecting that fast. So basically the way we did it is we start at 8 a.m. sharp, and they give me like, okay, this first patient coming in for X, Y, and Z, we're going to follow up on X, Y, and Z, go talk to the patient. And I just knock on the door and walk in, and I have to give credit to a third year student who I was with on one of my CCE, and I shadowed her for a few of my CCE, and I took the idea from her. She used to introduce herself like, hey, I'm a third year medical student. Have you ever had a student before? No. Okay, so this is the drill. I'll talk to you first, then the doctor will come in and talk to you. And I took that advice to heart when I watched her. So I was coming in, knocking on the door, like we learned in CTAC, sanitize my hands, like we learned in CTAC, sit down. I was like, hey, I did introduce myself as first year a few times, but then I was like, okay, I'm a rising second year. Talk to them. I was like, hey, I'm a rising second year. I'm working with Dr. So-and-so. Is it okay if I start your visit? I always ask them, even though the nurses have asked them before as well. And if the patient does not want student, they put a sticky note or something on the door that says don't want student. So if it doesn't have it, I still ask again just to make sure there's no confusion. It's like, okay, you're good. Have you ever had student before? Yes, no. Either way, I was like, okay, so you know the drill. I'll talk to you a little bit. And then go present to the doctor and the doctor will come back and talk to you a little bit more. So it was a really cool experience because I'm like putting my diagnosis hat on in some way or form. And at the same time, trying to remember all the things we learned in wellness and acute. Trying to go through that rubric of CTAC, like social history, ROS, smoking, and so on, and really figuring out what brought them in here. Like, for example, we had a patient who came in just for diabetes checkup. And like the first time was like, I was missing a lot of thought process questions. Like, oh, they're coming for diabetes. Have you been checking your blood sugar? Great. Any feeling shaky or going to pass out? Great. And go out and present. But I forgot about the numbness or tinglings in the hand and feet. I forgot to ask about eye exams, vision changes. So it helped in some way filling in the gaps that I was like, oh, I'm not used to ask all of those details. But now I'm like, oh, after a few days, I was like, I actually know the questions that I need to ask for diabetes, hypertension, and so on. I loved the variety of family med. It was so cool. Like in one day, I saw someone with your typical family med, primary care, hypertension, diabetes. Next patient was mental health or bipolar type of thing. The next one is here for knee injection. The following one was here for OMM. And then you have pap smear. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. So it was such a cool experience to do that for an entire 3 weeks. And my favorite things was on my last week because I got to see some patients I saw in my first week. So like seeing that same patient again, I was like, oh my God, I remember you. I remember exactly why you're coming here. So we talked a little bit about it. They remembered me too. And then I was like, you're doing much better. You look better. You're feeling better. You sound better. So it was like, this is why I'm in medicine, to really keep people healthy or feel healthier or be happy. So It was such a cool experience. I highly recommend it. Highly, highly recommend it. I can't say that
enough. And that's something that should talk about, because a lot of students, I know emails went out, but a lot of students near the end of the year missed that. So if you're listening to the show and you're going to be a first year student at HCOM or at any medical school in Ohio, put this program, make a note, keep this in your book. So it's in your appointment book near the end of your first year, second semester. This is something you want to look for, because it is. I mean, yeah, Suzanne would stop by the college, stop by Heritage Hall, and tell us about it. She'd come in days and be like, "This was so cool, I did this." I mean, it was just great to see and to see you kind of putting the puzzle together.
Yeah, I remember I ran into one of our professors, Dr. Porter, our anatomy professors, and we were talking about what I'm doing in summer and all this stuff. And I said something to him. I was like, after this 2 or 3 weeks, I realized that what you're teaching us was for a reason and not just memorized facts. And I know this does not sound as good, but at one point in a queue, I personally lost of like, why am I here? Why am I remembering all, trying to memorize all of these facts? At one point, I was like, this is just for memorization. But like, no, I actually saw people, cases of patients that we learned something very similar even in anatomy lab. And I even told him, like, oh my God, I now appreciate anatomy way more than when I was in the actual anatomy lab. And it's cool to really see. I was like, oh, we're learning all of this for a reason. It's happening for a reason. We're trying to memorize it for a reason. At the end of the day, it's all about the patient. It's all about the person in front of you that you're trying to treat. I went back to my emails. So this program was the first time we got an email about it was back in December. So right around our winter break. And I think we got another email about it later in January. And I think the deadline was February-ish to apply. So this is something to keep in mind. And honestly, whether you want to go into primary care or not, this is a great program. Like whether you want to do surgery or not, I think this is a great opportunity for any specialty just to see what primary care deal with on day to day, because they still, like, I did still see them refer to pain management and surgery and neurology and cardiology and so on. So it's cool to see even the referral aspect and what other providers like specialists deal with. And it was really cool that a lot of the specialists they were referring to are actually our faculty, like Dr. Koshal, for example, Dr. Patel, right. Like those names keep coming up in the clinic. I was like, this is so cool. So like, it's a full circle type of moment.
Well, and I think you can speak to this. If someone in their first year maybe struggles a little bit with that patient interaction, this seems like a perfect venue for you to pick up on those skills and really learn, real life right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's also nice because you're there, you're not being graded. Mm-hmm. Like you're really just trying to learn how to interact with patients, talk to patients, and present to your preceptors. One thing I always did is like at the end of the day, ask my preceptors any feedback you have for me, anything that I missed that I should have looked into or asked about. And they always gave me those feedbacks that I was like, okay, I kept track of it. One thing through that program, we attended like 2 meetings about family med. One of them was from previous student who were in that program last year. And they told us the trick of having sticky notes in your white coat pocket all the time. So I think have probably total of 7 or 8 sticky notes randomly on my desk right now that has random topics that I kept seeing over and over in the clinic that I know some of them we learned about, but like, I don't remember as much. I was like, this is my to-do list for this summer at one point to go over these topics and make sure I master it. And it was the tip we got from those students. I was like, or if you have a question while you're in the room, you don't want to ask if like, there's no time to ask it right. And then write on the sticky notes and afterward ask your preceptor, because at the end of the day, they're going to ask you, do you have any questions for me? Right. And it's always good to have those questions. So I was like, and you're not going to remember after seeing 9-10 patients in like the morning or afternoon, all of your questions. So writing it down, it was like an incredible tip, to be honest. I was like, oh my God, we learned a lot. We learned a lot in first year, and seeing a lot of this in the clinic made it really rewarding.
That is pure awesome. That is great. That really is. And I know after, because it is, you know, the first 2 years of medical school really is boot camp. I mean, you are really just, you know, you're in there, you're drilling down on subjects, you're getting these cases, you're in your groups, like it's, you know, day after day after day. So getting to do that has to feel like just complete freedom, complete wonder, complete, it's just great.
And honestly, it really made me excited for third year. Like, if this is how it's going to be third year, like, I know you still have to take an exam after each required rotation.
Sure.
But like, this is amazing. Like, this is what we came into medical school to do, not to sit in front of your books and first aid and laptop and studying all the time. Like, we came in to work with patients, at least for most of us, that was the goal. And seeing that, and I think I really like OMEM, and a lot of my classmates know that. So during downtime, I did OMEM on the nurses in that clinic. So I had a lot of practice, and they loved me for that.
I was going to say, they probably want to keep you around, don't they?
Oh, I had that comment. I was like, can you just stay here forever? I was like, I would love to, but I need my summer break too. Like, yes, this is nice. I do need. One thing that really stood out to me during that time, we had a third-year student who was pumping for her newborn. And one of the nurses, like, that third-year student, I guess, was using specific room or something. And one of the nurses like, hey, you know, we have a specific room for this if you want to go in. And that made my day. Like, when I heard that comment, I was not even involved in that conversation. I was like, this is what we need.
Yeah, that's great. Especially for third and fourth year. We talked about it during the season. And let's talk a little bit about the podcast itself. But I do like to see that, you know, first, let's go over. We began with an idea by you during orientation as we were sitting in the atrium at Heritage Hall. And I have never thought about doing a podcast. But when you said it, it just kind of tripped in my head. And I'm like, this is a good way to be creative, to talk about what the college does, what we do, what people do, and to give a bit of an insight that isn't, you know, that's warts and all. I mean, we addressed a lot of things in these 35 episodes.
We actually, including this one, I went back and looked at all the numbers, including this episode. We had 34 episodes total. Wow. We had 16 season one, 18 was this one with this episode for season two.
Yeah.
So we did talk to a lot of people and we had a lot of discussions, a lot of topics.
Good stuff. I mean, it is. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's real. I mean, and I think the other thing that people, you should know if you listen to the show, and you probably realize it, we don't do a script. We don't write out questions. We just have someone join and we talk. And we kind of stuck to that throughout the year. Some people are like, well, could we talk about it? No. We're just going to talk. Just see what happens. And I
remember when some of our faculties asked him to join in the pause, like, what type of question? I was like, I don't know. When you come in, we'll figure it out.
Let's see what happens. I mean, to me, that's, I don't know. It just seemed to be really good. And truly, this journey, and I know it's a drinking game for some of our listeners when we said, you know, it is, and I'm teasing. If it is, it was coffee because everyone's listening to it in the morning, I think. But we grew a lot, I think, and we learned a lot. I mean, I was just so many episodes. I was fascinated by, you know, the subject matter we're talking about. Even though I work at the place, there's so many things that you don't think about that came up.
Yeah, there was so much unpacking, and I really enjoyed having incoming students or students who are applying to HCOM listening to the podcast and learning more about the place. We both had many people connecting with us from who are not students at HCOM yet or coming as an incoming students and have been listening to the podcast, learning more the ins and outs. And I felt like that was a safe place as well to like have these honest information, and as well as our current students have a safe space where like we're all venting. And like, this is normal thing in medical school. It's normal to feel stress. It's normal to have imposter syndrome. It's normal to forget your why at one point. It's part of the journey. And I feel like a lot of people don't talk about this. Like, a lot of people don't talk about really the ups and downs, especially the downs, because we're all used to sharing all the ups and the highlights and the positive things. But it's important to talk about the negative too, to really humanize this process.
Yeah. I mean, it can be a dark ride sometimes. You can really get into some tunnels and feel like you're not going to get back out. And that's one of the things I think that when we talk to people, other students will come back and say, boy, I'm really glad someone said that because I feel that all the time. And maybe I should reach out. I mean, it's just huge. And you know, the other thing is we have so many alums that listen to the podcast. And I'm loving that because a lot of them are like, oh, you have that nice new building. Everything must be wonderful. Yeah, it's great. But it's, you know, it's still the same bricks that you walked on are really just the same thing, but in an atrium now in a different building. It is still a grind. And yeah. So as we move forward, what are some of the things that caught in your mind where you're like, wow, we're doing good work?
I think the feedback that's coming in about this podcast, I actually know some of my classmates who started listening to the podcast during summer break. And it was like, oh my God, this is like stuff I did not know about. And I was like, well, you've been here for a year. So like, let's talk more about it and normalize the conversation. I really loved the openness of the students who came on, as well as the faculty, to really be honest and share themselves. I mean, we don't do any of this on this podcast either. Like, this is really us recording and putting it out to the world type of thing, except adding the music at the beginning and the end. And that's it.
There's that.
I feel like I also connected more with our faculty and staff from this podcast. And I connected more with my classmates, especially those at different campuses. Like, now I know someone at each campus, whether from my class or upperclassmen too, like talking to, like, honestly, from this season, specifically season two, I was going back and looking at all the episodes we did. I really, really enjoyed the residency episodes. The two episodes when we talked was fourth year. I was like, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah, and I think that was really amazing.
And it's such a, you know, when you get to that part of third year and the fourth year, right before graduation, obviously residency, I mean, all these things are huge. I mean, every step of the way, there are just so many things you can learn from other people. And yeah, having those fourth years talk about the infinitesimally difficult moments of figuring out your residency. And if you're coupled with someone, even, you know, the next 10,000 iterations of what you need to do. I mean, that stuff, that's huge. That's huge to know. I mean, a lot of that I didn't realize. Like, I knew people, you know, went as couples, but I never knew anyone would sit down and do all the math on it, you know, to figure out, hey, are we going to be within the same zip code? You know, are we going to be close enough as a couple to both be in our residencies? That's cool. And so many people, I think, you know, I'm not saying it's a feel good, wonderful, you know, yippee skippy, everybody's happy show, but it helps people, you know, just to talk about it, just to get your voice out there.
And I mean, also learning about, let's go, going to be stressful at every single year, at every single point. I know second year is going to be probably the most stressful part for now, because boards and like all that work that goes into it. But I know also at the end of third year is going to be also stressful, because you're taking boards again and it's actually scored, and then you're figuring out residency. So I think it's also really interesting to see like how people manage their stress throughout this process and learning from them. Like, yeah, it's going to be stressful. Yes, it's going to be super hard. It's going to be overwhelming sometimes, but they made it and I can make it too. So that look into it could be helpful to many students too.
Well, I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, that's huge. And you just have to, you know, gird yourself to take what this entails. I mean, from start to finish, it is just a lot. And it's a lot to process, and you're not alone. I keep telling people that, you know, at the college, we have a lot of people who you can be referred to talk to, counselors and people in-house, learning specialists, faculty, staff. We really are here. You know, it becomes an us versus them thing sometimes with students, but you know, we're all us, really. There is no them at the college. And I know someone right now is going, oh, yes, no, there isn't. No, we really are all pushing in the same direction. We're all pulling on the same rope, same direction. We're going forward. And
trying to make the place better for everyone and helping get through it.
If people think like, oh, they're being negative on something. No, we're trying to get this to be worked out. I mean, we're not, you know, it may have a negative tone sometimes, but it's in the right heart. You know, you're taking the right approach or trying to. I guess sometimes I don't take the right approach, but still, I think we do move in the right direction. Our hearts are in the right place is what I'm trying to say.
A lot of from the podcast, there's a lot of positivity that came out of it too. And that's something good. And I hope when we come back mid-July, we'll bring more stuff to talk about and keep moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, we always we like feedback. So if anyone has any feedback, constructive is wonderful. I really don't want to hear from any other voice professionals telling me that they could voice this better than I do, because I'm not going to give you a script and you don't know what you're talking about, but that's all good. But you know, it is great to get feedback from listeners, actual listeners. It's also good to get just that, you know, what are we doing right? What do you want to hear? Ideas. You know, we do want to keep this fresh, and I know it's going to stay fresh going into second year because there's a lot to talk about. And we'll still, you know, reach back and we'll be talking to those first years too as they come in, because it's going to be just a little bit different than them. The curriculum changes ebb and flow every year. So we've got a lot of subject matter, pal.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we already have some type of list of topics, like 8 or 9 topics on our Google document. And I like a lot of people or current second, third, and fourth year have access to that document from my email that I send out. So anyone can go in it and actually add more topics at whatever point they want. So we're always open to new topics because it makes my job a little bit easier coming up with those topics.
Suzanne comes up with great topics. Hey, I changed the title of this already while we've been talking. Oh, the places we have been. I tweak. So, and someone will probably let us know that that's not good either. But I like it. I like that title. Suzanne Jar, have a great summer.
You too, Mark. What's your plans for summer? Do you have any fun plans other than being in Heritage?
Being in Heritage Hall. We right now, we have the summer programs going on. So it's Summer Scholars, Prematrix, Surfers. That is a program. It's not just people surfing around the building. It's actually a program. But we have those three things going on.
It's a research program.
It's true. And then we have some updates coming for the atrium in the summer. I'm not really a part of that directly, but I'm sure I'll be in the way. We're adding some technology out there. We're doing some things. We got some things going on. There's I just got an email today about another program involving faculty and credits and things. So yeah, there's always something happening. And then before we know it, we'll be right back at it. Orientation.
Yep.
So,
which is really coming soon. I mean, I know we're still May 31st, so tomorrow is June 1st.
Tomorrow's June 1st.
August gonna be here before you know it.
Sure is. We were already looking at the calendar starting for orientation. We've been talking about it for a bit. So, yeah, I mean, this is just, you know, there really isn't a summer anymore in this business. You just kind of keep going, and it's fun. It's enjoyable. So, yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Suzanne Char, for just being wonderful this year, for putting up with me being so late this evening. Boy, but
you're totally fine.
Suzanne has not seen Ted Lasso yet, but she's going to watch it now because she wants to see what all the hubbub's about. So that's her summer assignment from me. Watch Ted Lasso.
I will text you when I watch it.
And Citizen Kane. You should watch the film Citizen Kane. And The Third Man. You should watch The Third Man too. Those are two good Orson Welles movies.
Okay.
She's not writing that down like she does her notes when she's in the
film. I'm not.
No, she's not. All right. I'm going to leave you alone.
We'll go back to the episode. I will listen to it and take notes.
Okay. Yeah, but you will. We don't listen to our episodes. That's true.
No, we don't.
No. Anyway, take care, buddy. I'm going to miss you here for a month or so, and then we'll be right back at it. So, and as I say to everybody, don't embarrass the program now.
I'll try not.
Oh, no one's going to listen to this episode. Anyway, thank you, everyone, for listening throughout these two seasons. We break up the academic year into two seasons because we take the Christmas break off or the holiday break off. We will take another break here. We'll come back with season three in July and just keep on going. So, everyone, take care. Have a great summer. And we will all talk to you soon. Bye. Information, views, and ideas presented on this podcast are solely those of the authors and contributors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy, views, or position of the Heritage College of Osteopathic Medicine, Ohio University, or health system affiliations. Information presented on this podcast is intended to provide information which may be helpful to medical students. It is not intended to be a substitute for formal mentoring and/or replace academic guidance provided by medical schools or other professionals. The Please Use the Mic podcast is the property of Suzanne Char and Mark Loudon.